This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us this morning, a self-confessed minimalist, also one of the gentlemen behind the new Netflix documentary, Minimalism, Joshua Fields Milburn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. So tell us about this documentary, Minimalism. What is minimalism?
Well, for me, minimalism is the thing that it gets us past the things in our life, the extraneous, the excess stuff in our life, so we can start to focus on what's truly important. And minimalism really entered my life about 7 years ago. Two traumatic events happened to me. My mother died and my marriage ended, both in the same month. And, you know, those two events really forced me to look around and start to question, well, what I was focused on. It turns out I was focused on the wrong stuff. I was ostensibly successful. You know, I was living the American dream, which has permeated your borders as well. But I realized that American dream wasn't my dream. And it kind of took getting everything I thought I wanted to realize that maybe everything I thought I wanted wasn't actually what I wanted at all. And it was time for me to find what was truly important in my life.
Now, Joshua, just I would imagine that process of kind of stripping back and shedding was really cathartic for you as you kind of released a lot of this stuff. How savage was your kind of shift to minimalism? I mean, do you own two watches, or is it like across the board, unless I'm using it regularly, I don't have it?
You know, as a minimalist, everything I own now serves a purpose or it brings me joy. And I got everything else out of the way. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but the average American household has 300,000 items in it. But of course, most of us, we're not hoarders, right? We're not candidates for the TV show kind of thing, but we own a lot of stuff. And so, yes, while it was a cathartic process letting go, it was also an overwhelming prospect at first, having to look around at all those 300,000 items saying, where do I even start? And so for me, I started slow. I got rid of one item a day for 30 days just to get some momentum. But it turns out that I got rid of way more than 30 items in the first 30 days. Because once you start letting go, you start feeling freer and lighter and happier. And the people around you start noticing that maybe you're less stressed, you're a bit calmer. And by the way, your house is easier to clean. There are a lot of really great benefits through that whole process.
And it might seem kind of... Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say by letting go, I was able to identify what are the things that truly add value to my life, and then I have to keep processing that, right? You don't get down to the 1,000 items you own or 10,000 items or 100 items and then say I'm a minimalist, because the things that add value to my life today are going to be different than the things that add value, say, 5 years from now.
And it might seem counterintuitive when you are going through a difficult situation like the two that you mentioned, to actually get rid of a lot of stuff, let go of things, because normally you'd think you'd want to hold on and gather stuff around you. What did you feel like the personal benefit was of actually taking the route of letting go?
Well, for me, at first, the first benefit that I experienced had to do with regaining control of my finances. That was one of the things that was very appealing to me, because I was tethered to this lifestyle. I was working 60, 70, sometimes 80 hours a week, and I was tied to earning a paycheck to earn enough money to live. I was basically living to work. And what I realized that, well, the reason that happened is I made good money in the corporate world, but I spent even better money. And so I had massive amounts of debt. And so letting go of the excess stuff not only allowed me to make some money from that, but not bringing as much new stuff into my life allowed me to regain control of those finances. But then there were a bunch of other benefits as well. I regained control of my health. You know, at one point I weighed 80 pounds more than I weigh now, and I wasn't just fat, but I felt like crap, and that certainly hurt the other areas of my life as well. My relationships, I forsook the people closest to me. I was able to regain control of my relationships, and other things like my passions or being able to contribute to my community in a meaningful way. These were all just really good benefits that I started to experience once I stopped focusing on all the stuff in my life.
I think that one of the moments in the movie, you talk about you're talking with a bunch of people and they're like, I just couldn't get rid of my books because they bring me such great joy. and I think one of the attitudes of minimalism is that if it brings you joy, then it should be in your life. How permeated is this attitude of minimalism in such a way, like, would you be walking down the streets and if you saw a shirt that you just adored and you were like, I've got to have that shirt. Do you then go home and say, okay, which one of your shirts is going? And like, is there always equilibrium, or does it sometimes flex a little bit bigger and shrink a little bit smaller? I'm just trying to get my head around like how that functions day to day.
Well, one of the first things that was so appealing to me about minimalism was that it was flexible. You know, I was first introduced to this concept by a guy named Colin Wright, who's in the documentary. Now, you may remember him as the guy who owned 52 items. Everything he owned fit into his backpack, but he's a world traveler.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves to travel to a new country every 4 months, and so he has to be able to fit everything in his bag. But guess what? I like having a kitchen table, and that wouldn't work for him because it doesn't fit into the overhead bin on the airplane. But then there were other people like Leo and Eva Babauta. You remember Leo from the film as well. He and his wife have 6 kids, but I would argue that Leo is like an ultra minimalist, but I didn't aspire to live like him either. And what I realized is that there are a bunch of different flavors of minimalism, and whether you are Leo and his wife Eva with 6 kids, or you're a world traveler like Colin, what I realized is that you could tweeze out ingredients from each of these different minimalist recipes and create your own recipe for living a more intentional life.
Okay, so for the person who's going to be the new minimalist, maybe they've got kids, maybe they're single, coming from any different kind of background, what are the first steps, do you think, to beginning a life of less?
Absolutely. The first thing I'm going to recommend is not an actual step, but it's a question. And that question is, how might your life be better with less? And that question was so important to me. I had to ask myself that question because that helped me identify what the benefits of minimalism are. You see, we all understand how to declutter our closets. I mean, that's relatively easy. You're never going to see me write a list of the 67 ways for you to declutter your closet. But we often get lost because we don't have a why. We don't have a purpose behind doing what we're doing. So asking that question, how might my life be better with less, helps me identify what the benefits are. For some people, that will be finances. For others, it'll be maybe I'll have time to work on that passion project or take a yoga class. Or there are a bunch of things you can do with the excess time and resources that you'll have. And then from there, what I recommend, once you want to start letting go of stuff, we've had tens of thousands of our audience play something called the 30-day minimalism game. And I'll run you through it real quick. Here's how it works, but you can find all the details at theminimalist.com/game. And basically, you find a partner, a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone who wants to let go with you, and you start at the beginning of a new month. So the first day of the month, you each get rid of one item. On the second day of the month, 2 items. Third day of the month, 3 items, so forth and so on. It starts off really easy to give you that momentum you need. But as the month progresses, it gets more difficult because day 15, you're like, oh my goodness, I have to get rid of 15 items. Now, whoever goes the longest throughout the month wins. If you both make it to the end of the month, you've both won because you've each gotten rid of about 500 items, and that's a really good start.
I can just imagine that person who's like, okay, this is really challenging. I'm going to have a 500-piece puzzle, and on day one, I'll get rid of one piece of the puzzle, then 2 pieces, then 3, and they're like, I've totally done it. But Joshua, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks for having me.